Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele, running things behind the scenes in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. Want to tell everybody at 6:25 tonight, the legendary Drew Brees will join us. He'll be in the Saints Hall of Fame, inducted Thursday. And also, grand opening of his Pickle and Pins, grand opening for pickleball. It'll be that location, 6930 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. So talk to Drew about that when he comes on with us at 6:25 tonight. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Matt in Metairie. Matt, you're in the huddle with Mike and also Cullen.
At 6:25 tonight.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
All right, Matt, I'm good.
I just want to kind of like piggyback off what the previous caller said about getting draft picks. Yeah, that's all good and well, but the more and more I look at it, we don't hit much on draft picks. So you could have a plethora of draft picks, and it doesn't matter because last time I checked, the majority of the draft picks that we have can't even see the field. Or, I'm sorry, they're not even with the team anymore. I mean, you have Lamar Jackson in the 2018 draft, and the Saints trade up and select Marcus Davenport.
Correct.
In third round, they get Tre'Quan Smith. Fourth round, they go and they get Rick Leonard. Fifth round, they get Natrell Jamerson. Sixth round, Cameron Moore. Sixth round, Boston Scott. And seventh, Will Clapp. I mean, that whole draft is a bust. It's sad with the evaluations. And the thing that frustrates me is, and I know we can sit around, and try to point fingers and try to figure out exactly as a fan base what is what. But when your general manager says, well, we got to look beyond the results. No, you are what you are.
This is a results business. This is a result business. It's all about wins and losses. That's Mickey knows better than that. And I get what he's trying to say, but this is all about wins. That's all the fans want to hear about, you winning and you getting good players to win. And brought it up to James, and it's something Deuce and I spoke about a couple times in the offseason. Is also, there's one thing about picking a young player, but it's developing that young player. Okay, it's the same thing in college football too. R&D, recruit and develop. It's the same thing in the NFL, draft and develop. And that's something that's a huge question mark right now on this team. And the question mark is they haven't done a good job doing it. That answers the question.
You saw it when Sean Payton was here. They were developing these late-round linemen or these late-round running backs. I mean, yeah, guys, I remember – I forget exactly which game it was. I'm trying to remember it. I want to say it was like an AFC game one year, a couple years when Sean was – it was a couple years removed from the Super Bowl. And I forget, we were down to like our third string running back that they put in because we were beating them so bad, and they couldn't even stop him. And everybody's like, who's this guy? It's like those type of things, like you're talking about, developing. Like you got – when you got a line that you developed, fifth and sixth round pick or fourth, fifth and sixth round picks – that allows you and that gives you the versatility with your cap space to where you're not dumping a whole bunch of money into one player to where you can become, it's basically you instill this next man up attitude because, like you said, you can develop. And I haven't seen that. It's almost like when one person goes, oh, my God, what do we do? Well, it's like, well, what happened to you developing? What happened to your scouting? It just does not seem there. And it's frustrating because, for years, I remember when, Breeze was on his last leg, basically, I kept saying, y'all have to think for the future. I understand you love Breeze. And so, the fan base does. And that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you got to start thinking down the road. So when, it comes to make that change, you're not scrambling and you basically force a pick.
Yeah,
you're picking for need
You're not picking the best player. Now, they always say, well, we picked the best player on the board. Well, it just so happens to be the best player on the board at the biggest need position. Okay? So they don't add that other part in it. Great example. Look what the Texans did. Okay? And basically, in a year and a half to 2 years, they've got a young roster. This offseason, they spent money in free agency. You know why? They're not paying a quarterback. Not paying C.J. Stroud right now. He's on the minimum wage list. And so you could go out and you could get defensive linemen like they did, and they signed three of them, all veteran players to the roster, because they can do that because they've hit on draft choices. Tampa Bay, similar situation. They did pay Mike Evans. They did pay Baker Mayfield, but they had money. And they'll have money next year because they hit on so many draft choices. Green Bay, okay, once they jettisoned Aaron Rodgers, now they do have a big salary now because of Jordan Love, but, you know, they're not paying any receiver, no tight end, offensive lineman, none of that. So you can go out and kind of pick and choose a position of great need that you need to fill. And then you use the draft to fill in other areas. But, man, when you miss on draft choices, you in trouble. But we've seen this work in other places. And, again, Green Bay, Tampa, Houston, all great examples of that, of being able to rebuild the roster and quickly when you got the right quarterback and you hit on draft choices. So I appreciate the call, Matt. It was a good call. Thanks so much for calling in. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have Brad Evans on, a host of BetMGM tonight, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglio along with Cullen Steele on the line right now as the host of BetMGM tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks for joining us this afternoon, brother. Give it to us.
Hola, amigos. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Brad. Man, I'll throw it to you right off the bat. Saints, Broncos. Man, Saints walking wounded now, and we get even worse news. We kind of figured Olave wasn't going to play with the concussion, just like Sertan out in Denver with the concussion with a short week. But now with Rashid Shaheed, and this could be even worse than just a couple weeks. Your thoughts on Saints, Broncos, 2.5-point spread here, which sort of surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, it does me as well. I think you're going to see a bit of an uptick in money coming in on the Denver Broncos before kickoff tomorrow. I mean, you were talking about it, walking wounded, walking infirmary. It's kind of reminiscent of like a last preseason week game, honestly, with a bunch of nobodies that very few people know unless you're really tied and plugged in to each respective franchise. Alvin Kamara may see roughly about 10,000 targets in this game. That's my gut feeling. Juwan Johnson's going to be a busy man. No Taysom Hill as well. I mean, Means could have an opportunity or maybe step up, maybe Tipton out of the slot with no Sertan. Potentially that guy could be a difference maker. But you got Spencer Rattler, a guy that's assertive, aggressive, plays unfazed football, can feature some duality, much like Bo Nix can. I think Denver is going to be able to have successful games on the ground as New Orleans still licking their wounds after they got trounced last week, in multiple facets defensively, whether by Chris Godwin out of the slot for Tampa or, on the ground with the 1-2 punch there of Bucky Irving and also Sean Tucker. So a mountain to climb, I think, for New Orleans in this game. I like Denver. I think they'll come in to the Superdome, get the victory, get the cover. And I think Javonte Williams will probably be the finest fantasy performer on either side of the ball, potentially, in this game. He has not found the end zone yet this year. I think he finds it for the first time this season tomorrow night.
Friday night's game, BYU, undefeated, goes up against Oklahoma State. That game, one thing with Oklahoma State and in the past, I think it gets underrated. They do run the football pretty well, and they've always been noted for throwing the ball. But, man, BYU, Brad, they have really played well this season.
Outstanding football, and, you know, they're very much in the playoff conversation right now with the playoff field expanding to 12 teams, and the Cougars, I think, are going to be, licking their chops here at this matchup. I mean, you look at BYU laying 8.5 right now. I played this thing up to maybe 9.5 and firmly laid the chalk here. Oklahoma State has certainly been a letdown, and you look at the advanced numbers that are out there. I mean, they're very much members on the struggle bus right now. 71 EP per play offense, defensively not much better at 64. BYU, a better offensive team and an outstanding defensive team as well. They've been wrapping fools up. They've been mitigating drives. They're only number 14 in the country in EPA per play defense. That's their high standing right now. And you look at all the advanced metrics sites that are out there, they have BYU to anywhere between 15 to 20 points as the victors in this game. And again, you're laying single digits right now at your favorite sports book. So for me, at BetMGM, I'm going to comfortably lay the chalk in the 8.5. I think the Cougs win, and it could be by a convincing fashion.
We got a couple people here in the studio, Dan Barron and Joe Cardosi, men, big Alabama fans. So give us your thoughts, Alabama-Tennessee.
Massive game, guys, as you know. What version of Alabama are we going to see?
I have no idea. None.
Nobody really knows. You can really apply that same logic to Tennessee. It's a proper question. That's a team that obviously went in a Fayetteville loss. So both these squads, despite all the hoopla and all the hyperbole that was out there just a couple of weeks ago, very much on a roller coaster ride, and we're all feeling a little bit queasy about it. Looking at all the advanced data that's out there, I think this game is going to be nip and tuck. I think it honestly is going to come down to final possession. Alabama is number 5 in the nation in EPA offense, number 5 in the nation EPA defense. Outstanding balance that the Crimson Tide has. Tennessee, not as good offensively, number 22 in EPA offense, but numero dos nationally in EPA defense. So I think whoever has the ball last will ultimately win this game by 3 points. 2.5, I haven't bet on this yet. If I had a lean, I might sprinkle a little bit on the Volunteers' money line. But if the line goes up a half a tick and it's like Alabama -3, I'm going to pounce like a panther on Tennessee at +3. And if it gets to 3.5 all diggity day long, I'm going to roll with Smokey there. I believe they will get the cover if it gets that high. And they definitely have more than a fighting chance owning this game again straight up.
This is a scary game for me because I've seen it play out time and time again, LSU-Arkansas. In years past, they would play Arkansas after Alabama. Okay, so you're an emotional high to play Alabama, and you come back down. And, man, these games have been fist fights. And the one thing with Sam Pittman, you're always going to get a physical part in the trenches with LSU and Arkansas. Your thoughts here, this line, I'm not sure if it didn't open at 3.5, and now it's down to 2.5?
Yeah, that is correct. A lot of money in action coming in on Woo Pig Suey here, and for good reason. I think 3.5 was a little bit too high. Much like Alabama and Tennessee, it's going to come down to a field goal kicking contest, maybe the end of the game. Honestly, I think the best bet on the board in this game is taking the under.
Okay.
That total at 56.5 is a little bit too high for me. I think this game is going to be in the high 40s, maybe the low 50s. Won't get quite close to the mid-50s in overall game total. I will say this. If you're an LSU fan down there in New Orleans, Arkansas, one of the knocks against them, they've only played the number 69 strongest overall strength of schedule. So, yeah, they had that key victory against the Volunteers under the belt. But LSU has played more formidable competition across the board, number 25 in SOS. And I think LSU, that electric offense, despite their defensive ills, I think they're a better team overall. However, I think right now the 2.5, I don't feel comfortable about it, given the road environment. But again, I feel really good that the under is going to come through here on the 56.5.
Cullen?
Brad, another big SEC bout this weekend, Texas, Georgia, their biggest, probably hurdle in the season so far, though. I know Texas is a favorite a little bit. I feel like it should be a lot more. What are you seeing?
Yeah, Texas laying 3.5 in this one. And, I think a lot of people are going to see the name recognition, the name brands that are going to go toe-to-toe here, and they're automatically going to fire off tickets on UGA. get the three and a hook and thinking that's going to come into play. I think Texas is going to win this game and comfortably cover.
I
think they're going to win by anywhere between 7 to 14 here in the end. It could be a 10-point margin. You know, Georgia has just been a bit of a roller coaster ride in their own right, right? They're number 8 in EPA offense, number 13 EPA defense, a very good and balanced team. But Texas far better in both those categories, 4 in offense, 3 in defense. We know the quarterback play is extraordinary for Hook'em Horns. I think the fighting Matthew McConaughey's are going to get this thing done, like I said, within that 7 to 14 margin, probably going to be around 10 points overall. So I will lay the 3.5 and not even blink for a second.
Brad, going back to the NFL and the game everybody wants to watch, you got the 4-1 Lions, who looked like world beaters last week going up against the Cowboys. Yeah. But you lose Aiden Hutchinson for the season there, going up against the undefeated Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, this is going to be a monster game. And, yeah, that's the $64,000 question is, how does the defensive line react without the premier pass rusher and Aiden Hutchinson on the field? And, you know, it puts even more pressure on the back end defensively for Detroit. And that is a young secondary that's certainly taking their lumps. And now I'm going to face a guy in Sam Darnold who's been on point this year and arguably the best wide receiver in the game today. And Justin Jefferson, of course, as you guys know, down there near LSU. So, you know, the pride of Baton Rouge, I think, is going to put up some stupid numbers. I actually fired off on Justin Jefferson to exceed 100 yards receiving in this game at plus odds earlier day there at BetMGM. The pair of matchups he had against Detroit last year, he went well north of the century mark in total yardage through the air. I think he will be the difference maker in this game. I think Detroit's obviously going to be very competitive. Their offense is outstanding. Mandatory Montgomery, Dan Montgomery has scored a touchdown every single game. Jahmyr Gibbs is a jack of all trades. Amon Ra St. Brown is going to have a huge advantage out of the slot as Byron Murphy is inside the top 5 and most yards allowed to his assignments, and he's the primary slot DB for Minnesota. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, fireworks aplenty there in Minneapolis. I think Detroit's going to sink the victory in the end, but again, my favorite bet on the board is Justin Jefferson over everything, and I think he finds the end zone as well.
Got the Super Bowl matchup, rematch. Chiefs 5-0 going up against the 49ers. Basically, Brad, this is a pick'em game. You know, it's a one-point spread at this stage, but basically you're picking the winner here.
Yeah, you know, I think revenge is going to be exacted here by San Francisco, a team that, you know, both these squads well-rested. And, you know, you look at the Niners, a team that has all kinds of weapons across the board, even without the CMC football factory on the field. And hopefully we're going to get him back here pretty soon. But Jordan Mason's been incredible on the ground, a guy that gets appreciable yak, forces missed tackles. He is the epitome of a workhorse and an absolute Clydesdale who is winning right now. I know he had the shoulder ailment, but, you know, should get his customary 20 carries on the ground. And you look at Patrick Mahomes, he's just been May this year, guys. From a fantasy football perspective, he is the 20th best quarterback in terms of fantasy points per game production. Who would have thought it? Patrick Mahomes. And I know he lost Rashee Rice. Juju Smith-Schuster really stepped up and filled those massive shoes. Travis Kelce looks like he's found his groove right now. Kareem Hunt, you know, turned about the clock. He's looked really good here last couple of games. But I think the Niners, as long as they body up in the trenches, that's been area of weakness, in my opinion. They have the strong back-end defense. And the fact, too, that Mahomes just isn't uncorking with a whole lot of success, particularly down the field. He has one of the lowest ADOTs, average depth of target, any quarterback in the league. I think the Niners, at home, get the best of KC and win this one in a squeaker.
Okay, well, it's not the only game I'm keeping an eye on. Obviously, the Vikings-Lions game, we were just talking about the Super Bowl rematch. You guys are skipping over. Texans-Packers, come on. What do you have on that? I know Green Bay is favored by just a couple points. I don't know if I like that, but what are you seeing?
Yeah, honestly, I would lay the chalk here. I do like the Pack. I think they're going to win by field goal boot. I think it's going to be one of the higher scoring games of the week. I will take the over on that. I grab it at 47.5. I think, C.J. Stroud, I'm a loud, proud member of Team Stroud, a guy that's certainly getting it done. And, yeah, you don't have Nico Collins on the field, but Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, those guys can certainly step up. happen. I think the real difference maker in this one is going to be Joe Mixon. Back last week, after the multi-week injury, dealing with that ankle and a knee issue that he had, and he went over the century mark. If they get him north of 80 yards on the ground, which I think is entirely attainable for him, Houston's going to win this game. And I think he's going to be a problem for Green Bay to try to wrap up. Mixon's just a yards after contact beast. He's got shimmy and shake in the open field, can juke you out of your shoes, and then, you nickel and dime with a little Stephon Diggs underneath, go deep to Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz across the middle. There's a lot of weapons there for Houston to keep this thing close, but Jordan Love's been spectacular. Jaden Reed is a beast. Christian Watson right now is healthy, and it sounds like they're going to get Dontavian Wicks back to go along, of course, with Josh Jacobs there on the ground. And in Green Bay at Lambeau Field in chilly conditions, they're going to put Houston on ice and win this thing going away.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy your time here with us. Great insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
Muchas gracias, amigos. Enjoy the action this weekend.
All right, Bradley. Thank you, brother. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We come back, triple option feature. We'll be joined by Steve Geller, Cullen Steele, myself, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Cullen Steele, joined by Steve Geller. It's our triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, guys, obviously tomorrow, Thursday Night Football, a big one. Sean Payton back in town, but also Drew Brees getting inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. He also put out a message recently on Twitter via the Saints. There's going to be something special going on halftime. Here's what Drew had to say.
Drew Brees here. We have been able to experience some incredible things together in the Superdome over the last 18 years. But Thursday, game day, against the Broncos at halftime, we're going to do something that's never been done before. We are going to break out a chant that I know all of you know, but we are going to do it as one in the dome together. It's going to go like this. I'm going to grab that microphone. I'm going to look around, and I'm just going to say one. You say two. Win. Or you. Three. Four. Win. Some more. Five. Six. Win. For kicks. Seven. Eight. Win. It's great. Nine. Ten. Win. Again. Win. Again. Win. Again. Win. Again. You know what time it is.
Well, Drew, I hope that everybody can keep up with you because I've already forgot what to say.
Yeah, too bad they don't have A-Bear involved with that.
They might have to put that
They'd have to give him the script.
On the Jumbotron.
He'd be perfect. He'd be perfect for that one.
Hopefully, too, at halftime, this game isn't a runaway.
No, I don't think it'll be a runaway. The Broncos' offense,
their
defense is real good now. Their front seven and their safeties are good. Now, you can't say that cornerback play without Sertan is good. Come on. It ain't no next man up because the next cat, he ain't close to Patrick Sertan as far as the cover guy. But their defense is pretty feisty. And we heard Mark Schlereth, when he came on with us, make the comment, Mike, I would say the average, but I would be giving him a lot of credit. It's below that.
And that's a Broncos guy right there.
And he lives in Denver, so you get it. Cullen?
Okay, guys, I am on the NFC North hype train. I'm buying all of the stock for every single team in that division because currently the top four teams in the NFL with the point differential is, in order, the Vikings at plus 63, the Lions at plus 60, the Bears at plus 47, then the Packers at plus 41. The entire division leads the NFL in 1-2-3-4 point differential.
Whoa.
That is a damn good division.
That is really good.
4-2, 4-2, 4-1, 5-0.
Just about 15 minutes ago, LSU landed a commitment from a four-star point guard in Jalen Reese. This is Matt McMahon's third top 100 prospect to commit to LSU. No, Matt McMahon has taken him a little while, and he certainly doesn't have the personality of the last head basketball coach there, but that would take quite a bit. So he's landed Jalen Reese. Jalen was ranked the 70th best prospect in the nation. He's already got a commitment from Maxley Mosley, who's at 61, and Matt Gilhool, who is at 74. quietly, Matt McMahon is starting to put some pieces of the puzzle together for LSU basketball. And I know one thing, in just talking to him, he came to a couple of our TV shows. He was like, man, Mike, I got some pressure on me. Okay, look, the women's basketball, you got all this track and field, the gymnastics,
baseball
with Jay Johnson, Brian Kelly. Man, I got to win. And so this is his third land, but that's a big commitment, getting four-star point guard Jalen Reese. And so congratulations to Matt McMahon and the LSU Tigers. It won't help you this year. But, man, down the road, LSU's got something rolling here in basketball. And, again, it's taken a little while to redo that roster. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk on the Big 870. I want to tell everybody at 625, Drew Brees will be on, going into the Saints Hall of Fame Thursday, and also a grand opening for Pickle and Pins, a pickleball place on 6930 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Take Anthony from Metairie. Anthony, you're in the huddle with Mike and Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, man.
Let me ask you a question first before I go on. Didn't we, before we signed Derek Carr, didn't we go after Deshaun Watson?
Yes, sir. So did about 10 other teams, too. Man, Anthony, I don't remember in my time frame seeing a guy who most people considered a star player in this league and just absolutely fall off the earth. And, yeah, the Saints were one of the teams, though.
It's still scary that we wanted them. And then we're talking about misses on draft picks and stuff. Yeah, they on a roll. Again. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a quick rebuild. I'll put it to you that way. Because, you know, your top players, especially on defense, if you look at it in DeMario Davis and Tyrann Mathieu, Cam Jordan. Yeah, okay. And who's going to replace those guys? And where's the money going to come from if you use free agency? That's why the draft is so important. It's more important today than any other time because you can use that. And if you hit on picks, then you can get after a couple of nice free agents to fill in other spots. But they haven't been able to hit on draft choices. They haven't been able to develop those young players. And now you're in a real, real big bind all across the board. Steve, I know we've talked about it before in the offseason about the development of young players. We haven't seen a lot of it.
No, it's sad for the fact that you know you have to build that up. The amount of talent nowadays, the price range is just blowing away the salary caps. And the way to do that is obviously with your influx of young talent you're bringing in. And when you're missing more than hitting, obviously you're left with what we have right now. And then unfortunately, you know, Mike, I hate to see, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals. I feel like every time I see a highlight from them, Trey Hendrickson's doing something. And, of course, the one that got away, you know?
Yeah, he's the one that got away because you spent a first-round pick and capital for Marcus Davenport.
Eh.
And that was a big push from Sean.
Right.
To keep him. Sean wanted Marcus here because they had given up so much to get him. And from a talent standpoint, man, Marcus Davenport had it. But you wondered about the tick, tick, tick of the heart. I know he's had some injuries, but when he wanted to, man, I've never seen a guy other than Jumpy Gathers take over a practice session like he could. He can basically forklift a guy right back into the lap of a quarterback. But again, it's the injuries you worried a little bit about. You know, could he do it? Does he love football? The one thing I can say about Trey Hendrickson, he's not the biggest, fastest, strongest. He loves the game. Absolutely loved this game of football. There is something about that that still matters today. You got to sometimes get away from talent. And I'd love to have the talented guy that loves the game at a high level. Trey's a guy who's got good talent. But, man, talking about focus, concentration, love the game, and works at it 24/7 is Trey Hendrickson. That was a big whiff. letting him get away to go to Cincinnati, because he's been a terrific player for the Bengals. One of the few defensive guys on that team. Anthony, thanks so much for the call, bud. We appreciate it. We come back, we'll have a lot more here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. And at 625,
Drew Brees.
You heard it right after this news break.